Here you are. It's Sunday morning, and it's bright and sunny outside. You could be fishing. You could be at a barbecue. I mean, who are you people? You're here in church. Why is that? Did you know that we're not really trending right now? You know, you're not here because it's popular. We take an offering. We want you to pay to be here. Like, who are you people? Who are you people? I know. Well, I have an answer. I have an answer for that question. And it's from Psalm 36 that simply says, "Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky." Whenever I get depressed, I read the Bible. Whenever I get really depressed, I memorize the Bible. So, lately I memorized Psalm 36. And when you memorize the scripture, you find things that you didn't see, that you wouldn't see if you were just running through the scripture, right? A friend of mine who's a hunter, he said, every two steps in the bush is a different place. Because when you're watching and listening and going really slow, you know, every two steps you see something different. It's a different place. And when you memorize the scripture, you see things that you just wouldn't see when you're rushing through it. So I memorized Psalm 36. Let's see how I do. No cheating. Okay. That's the intro. I was just making sure it's up there. Transgression speaks to the ungodly in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For it flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it. His words are wickedness and deceit. He ceased to be wise and do good. He plans wickedness upon his bed. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the sky. Your righteousness is like the mountain of God. Your judgments like a great deep. You preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O Lord. How am I doing? Okay, good. Thank you for the encouragement. The sons of men and the sons of man seek shelter. Well, I guess it's children. Yeah, the children of men seek shelter under the shadow of your wings. And they drink their fill of the abundance of your house, and you cause them to drink from the rivers of your delight. For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. O Lord, keep your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. There the doers of iniquity have fallen. They've been cast down, and they cannot rise. I think I missed something, didn't I? 11. Let not the foot of pride come upon me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There, the doers of iniquity have fallen. They've been cast down and cannot rise. Oh, I tried. I had it perfect this morning. So anyway. That's right. Yeah. See, I thought I was good. Now I've been humbled. Where are we here? Oh. So in going through that, the reason I'm preaching on it today is that I just really, by going through it slowly, you know, one step at a time, I discovered some very dramatic things, something that's startling and dramatic and impresses the heart with its emotion. But first of all, we need to talk about this word, loving kindness. Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. The Hebrew word is chesed. Chesed. We say the word church It's a CH, but we say that with the top of our mouth, church, right? But you say chesed with the back of the mouth, the throat, chesed. Everybody say chesed. Chesed. Brought some towels if anybody needs one. Chesed. That's his loyal love. It's used of both man and God in the Bible and in ancient literature. But wherever it's used of man, there's always some kind of tie involved. There's some tie or some relationship between the parties. You can show love or mercy to somebody that you have no connection to, but when you show love or mercy to someone that you have a connection to or a commitment to, then that's chesed. That's loyal love. It's used of both man and God, as I said. Loyal love is a good translation. It's love, but you're being loyal to a commitment. Steadfast love is another translation. It's love, but you're steadfast in your commitment to a covenant, right? And so marriage is perhaps the best human example of chesed. I love my wife, but I'm also loyal to her, right? And sometimes the love is just so easy and natural. And sometimes you're just being committed. That's loyal love. And so you know, I love you too, right? But there's a difference of commitment. We're committed to each other, but we love each other according to the commitment that we have. If you say, Alex, you could have dressed a little better this morning, I'd say, who are you? If Diane says, Alex, you're not wearing that, are you? I go and change, right? There's a difference between the love that's appropriate to the commitment. Now, God's love, of course, is always tied to his covenants because he makes a covenant with his people. This is the agreement. This is what I promise to be to you, and this is what I want you to be to me. God joined himself to Israel by covenant. And therefore, Israel could sing, the loving kindness of the Lord never ceases. Your steadfast love, O Lord, never fails. It never ceases. And you know, chesed, the loving kindness of the Lord, is actually the whole theme of the whole Old Testament. The whole Old Testament is about God's loyal love, how he made a covenant with his people, called them out of the desert and made a covenant with them and said, I will be this to you. And they failed God time and time again. But he kept on showing his loyal love. The best definition, I think, of of chesed, therefore, is just any of the stories from the Old Testament. Because a picture, a story, is actually a better definition than a technical definition. I've been trying to give you a technical definition, but just think of one of the stories, like Abraham. Abraham, God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees to go to the land of Canaan. That actually wasn't too weird because there was an immigration pattern from the Chaldees to Canaan at that time. And so Abraham went left and took his family. And there in the land of Canaan, God entered into a covenant with Abraham. And you, all the nations of the earth, will be blessed. You will have a descendant, and your descendants will be like the stars of the heaven, if you could number them. He entered into covenant with them there, and Abraham believed God. But then Abraham got into various kinds of trouble. Did he not? There was famine in the land, and he went down to Gentile nations, and there he was afraid. He wasn't yet trusting in the loving kindness of God, and he was afraid, and he told his wife Sarah to lie and say, you're my sister, because they're going to kill me. You're so beautiful. And she got in trouble, and it was distressful, but God got them out of it because he protects his prophets, and he was learning more about God's loving kindness. And his nephew Lot was captured, and he went to war and got his nephew back. And he had domestic trouble because he couldn't have a son with Sarah. So He took Hagar, Sarah's handmaid, and had Ishmael. And then it got to the place where Sarah couldn't stand the handmaid and her son and cast them out. And Abraham was greatly distressed. But he saw how God took care of his son Ishmael. And so through all this, he's learning about the steadfast love of God. Then at the end of his life, he and Sarah actually have a child, Isaac. And he knows, he believes. He believes that God keeps his promises. And God says, Isaac, or Abraham, I want you to take Isaac up the mountain and sacrifice him to me. And Abraham says, yeah, okay. Well, actually, it's not the first thing he said. First thing he said was, I don't think I'll tell Sarah. You know? And then he says, yeah, okay. Because at this point, he's fully trained in the love of God. And he doesn't know how God's going to do it. He actually thought that he'd end up killing his son and his son would come back to life. But that doesn't matter. We don't have to figure out how God's going to do it. He just wants us to trust that he's going to do it. And he took Isaac up the mountain and went to sacrifice him. God provided a lamb instead, a ram. And Abraham left us a beautiful little saying, a word picture, so that we could remember what the loving kindness of God is. In the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Amen? God is good. Okay, notes, where are we? And so each one of you are in a covenant with God. We have a new covenant with God through the Holy Spirit. A new covenant where he promised to put his Holy Spirit within you and write his law upon your heart, and your sins and your wicked deeds he will remember no more. We're in that covenant. And God jealously desires the Spirit that he has put within you. And that's why he will not let you go. He keeps you for himself. And he keeps loyal love towards you. And that's why you're here this morning. Because you know that. And it's good. And you want a taste of it. Amen? Your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Now, the dramatic thing I noticed as I memorized this was what happens after David talks about the behavior of the wicked. Transgression speaks to the ungodly in his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for it flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it. His words are wickedness and deceit. He plans wickedness on his bed. He ceases to be wise and do good. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil. And then naturally, what you would naturally expect in a poem like that is a contrast with the behavior of the righteous. The righteous repent of their hatred. The righteous plan good on their beds. You know, the righteous set themselves on a path that's good because they despise evil. But rather than do that, David says, the loving kindness of the Lord extends to the heavens. See, what contrasts with the behavior of the wicked is the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen? You were saying things like that this morning. Well, I thought, right on. We're here today because of his loving kindness. Nobody can deliver themselves from their own wickedness. Nobody can deliver themselves from sin or from evil. What we have discovered is not a better behavior. What we have discovered is the loving kindness of God and his love. Amen? And that's what David is making so plain with his beautiful poetic presentation and his dramatic contrast of the two things. This is the behavior of the wicked. But the loving kindness of God is everlasting. And this, of course, has great implications for evangelism. The non-believer looks at us and looks at the Lord and the law of God and thinks, I need to change. And they try and change and they can't. And then they get frustrated. And then they start to say things like, yeah, those church people, they're not so good. They're a bunch of hypocrites. I see them doing things wrong. And we would be hypocrites if, in fact, what we had discovered was better behavior, because we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God, do we not? That's what the Bible says. So if what we've discovered is our own ability to change, then we're hypocrites. But we're not hypocrites, because what we've discovered is the loving kindness of God, who delivers us from our sin and makes us better people and preserves us and sanctifies us and keeps us for himself. And it has implications for evangelism in that we should always share the gospel with everybody at all times. I remember doing some drywall in the mall in Cranbrook, and we used to have messages from the ministerial. You know, they'd be playing some rock music, and then there'd be a message from the ministerial. And this guy said to me, you know, I got nothing against religion, but there's a time and a place. And I said, that's right. There's a time and a place. Every time and any place. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, right? Tell people about the Lord. And what happens to us is we look at people and we think, ooh, that's bad behavior. No point telling them about God, right? Because we start to think in that performance mode ourselves. And so we share the gospel with people we think are kind of halfway good, and we forget the rest. Don't we do that? When I was first saved, I got saved by the Jesus Freaks down in Vancouver, and then I was going to UBC, so I hooked up with Campus Crusade, and they taught me how to share the four spiritual laws. And I was just a pass-out attract kind of a guy, right? I witnessed everybody. And it actually got some amazing results. People got saved. I can remember in between science and theology, I worked for a couple of years back in Kimberley, and I'd go out every second day and talk to people about the Lord and pass out some tracts. So there was this one guy. Now, you know, the whole hippie movement had kind of peaked, but the hardcore people were still around, right? And there was this one guy, he was hardcore. In fact, he's so hardcore, his nickname was Treehouse. He lived in a treehouse with long hair and his girlfriend, and that's hardcore because it gets cold in Kimberley, let me tell you. But didn't matter to me. I gave him a tract and started talking to him, and I had heard some things about him, that he was involved in witchcraft, which was kind of a new thing at the time, and warned him about the potential for demonization if he gets involved in witchcraft, and he kind of poo-pooed that and was very resistant to the message. And I came back to Kimberley years later and heard that he was a Christian and he was going to church. I said, you mean Treehouse so-and-so? Yeah, yeah. He got saved. So you see, it isn't about people changing their behavior. It's about people discovering the loving kindness of God. So tell everybody. You never know who Jesus is calling to his heart, to himself. Amen? Now, the last section we want to deal with is delighting in God. The children of men take refuge under the shadow of your wings. And they drink their fill of the abundance of your house, for you cause them to drink from the river of your delight. Now that we've discovered the loving kindness of God, we also know how to delight in him. Amen? See, because God cares about your heart. It's steadfast love, but it's love. It's loyal love, but it's love. He cares how you feel today. He does. He cares how you feel. I've discovered that a really good prayer is a prayer where you tell God how you feel about things. I'm not saying we can manipulate him. But he just really cares how we feel. My adopted son, Mike, living in Kimberley, he's had some problems, but he's always been he's always had a real spiritual side. And so he's struggling, but he's also pushing into the Lord. He put on Facebook that he got up and prayed, Lord, put a smile on my face today. Put a smile on my face. See, that's the kind of prayer that God can hear, loves to hear, because he cares if there's a smile on your face. So he went downtown into a coffee shop, and there he discovered his best friend from his teenage years and had a coffee with him. And Josh is doing really good, and he's got a business up in Edmonton. Might call Mike sometime to go up and help him work and teach him his trade. But Mike was just really, really blessed that he found his long-lost friend, whom he hadn't seen for years. God put a smile on his face. So the other day, I got up and woke up in the middle of the night, actually, and I was a little agitated and depressed and feeling sorry for myself. So when I went off to work, I prayed that prayer. I thought, oh, I'll try that. Yeah. God put a smile on my face. It's the first day ever I've sold 3 cars in one day at the car lot. Yeah, I'm serious. And he put a smile on my face. That's a good feeling. Now, the next day, 2 of the deals unwound and fell apart because God has a sense of humor too, right? But I still have a smile on my face ever since then, because God actually cares how you feel. He cares about your feelings. So that's a good prayer. So it says, first of all, the children of men take shelter under the shadow of your wings. I wonder what that means. It could mean, I suppose, it could be a picture of a hen gathering up her chicks, like Jesus said of Jerusalem. I would gather you up like a hen gathers her chicks and shelter you. It could be that, but that's not really the context, is it? The context is the house of God. The context is worship. Are there any wings in the house of God? Anybody got an answer? Angels? Okay. What else? The last slide has a picture. The Ark of the Covenant. Right? The Ark of the Covenant are the wings in the house of God. See, God's made a covenant with us in the blood of Jesus. And the first thing we have to do always is come to him by faith. This speaks to me of faith. Lord, I put my trust in the covenant that you have made with me. I take shelter under the shadow of your wings. First of all, we take shelter under the shadow of his wings. And then we start to feel his presence and his joy. And we drink our fill of the abundance of his house. We're going to leave here about 12 o'clock, probably, but not because God's done with us, not because God's run out of resources, not because he isn't willing to fill us some more, but we drink our fill, and when we're full, we're gone. But it's a river of delight. There's always more. And he causes us to drink of the river of his delight. He doesn't want to see us sad and unthankful and unhappy. He wants to give us delight because he cares about our heart. And then we walk out of here and we go, you know, my life's not so bad. There's some light in my life. But it isn't really the light in your life. In your light, we see light. We've seen the light of God. And it fills our life with light. Isn't that our experience? Isn't that why we're here? because we know the delight of the Lord. You know, the New Testament calls us saints, holy ones, hagios, to the saints at Corinth, to the saints at Galatia, to the saints at Thessalonica. The Old Testament calls us chassid. And you can hear in that chassid, holy one, comes from the root chesed, right? It's from the same root. We're here today because his loving kindness is rooted, or the holiness, the desire for God that we have is rooted in his loving kindness. Thank you, Lord. How precious is your loving kindness today. So, what time is it? Okay, that's all I got, but we want to pray. We want to pray, and I especially want to pray for people that are depressed, for people that have maybe felt like they've wandered away from the Lord, and because there's kind of a hardness that can come with sin. You know, you think, okay, I've done all this sinning, turning away from the Lord. That's really bad. I don't want to be untrue to myself, blah, blah, blah. And there's just a hardness about coming back to the Lord, but you can come back. Because, you see, it wasn't about your behavior anyway, was it? It was about his loving kindness. So if you come back to his loving kindness, you're back where you should be. He wasn't keeping score. He just wants you under the shelter of his wings. He just wants you in his loving kindness, that's all. And I think it wouldn't be bad if we just took some time for delight. If the worship team came up and maybe started with that song, "You're Awesome in This Place," and then sang some songs and just took some time to delight in the Lord as a response this morning. Would that be good? Okay. So, but first of all, let's pray. Let's pray. So, you were walking with the Lord closely, and then you wandered away. And now there's a hardness. You don't know if you should come back, if that wouldn't be right, if that would be untrue. And just want to declare to you today that you this is what the Bible commands. Draw near to him in full assurance of faith. It's not about your performance. When you come back to him, come in full assurance of faith. Just tell him, "Lord, I did these things. I'm back now. I'm under your loving kindness today. I'm under your love again." Let's stand and pray. And so if that's you, just pray something like that with me. Just say it under your breath to the Lord. Just say, "Lord Jesus, I'm back. I thought there was satisfaction in sin, but there's not. I'm disappointed with myself, and I'm a disappointment with you, but I'm back under your loving kindness. It's not about my behavior, Lord. It's about your greatness, your goodness, and your love, your covenant-keeping love. I receive your forgiveness today, Lord. Cause me to drink from the rivers of your delight." And for those of you that are depressed, I just break off depression now in the name of Jesus. I rebuke depression in the name of Jesus. You have no place in the saints. You have no place in the holy ones. Because we have a river of delight to drink today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. And all the saints said, amen. Amen. Okay, let's delight in him, and I'll be up here and perhaps some others. And if you need a prayer for healing or some other touch, just come and we'll pray for you today. But let's delight in the Lord for a bit.